day of some very good news, and that is that we have found one of the two Franklin ships.
Prime Minister Stephen Harper beaming as he announces the discovery of the British vessel Lost, trying to traverse the Northwest Passage in 1845.
We've done this obviously using the latest cutting-edge technology, and obviously we've done it through the great teamwork of everybody here and the organizations they represent.
Teamwork that includes archaeologists, scientists, historians, and some 19th century Inuit hunters. The discovery has been hailed as a validation of Inuit oral history, a history that's believed to have pointed the way to the missing ships all along. But what exactly does that oral history say? And why did it take so long to follow through on its clues? David Woodman spent years combing through the field notes of explorers who searched for the lost expedition soon after it went missing. They talked to the Inuit and wrote down what they said they'd witnessed. David is the author of Unraveling the Franklin Mystery, Inuit Testimony, a book that challenges conventional theories about what happened. We reach David at his home in Port Coquitlam, B.C. David, good morning.
Good morning.
If the Inuit knew where the ship was all along, why did it take so long to locate the ship?
Well, we're being a little facile in saying the Inuit knew where it was all along, because it's not as if they said go to Bloor and Danforth and that's where you'll find it. It was more like it's in southern Ontario. So that was still a fairly large area, and there were very few clues to let us even go and say, let's look near Burlington or look near London or something like that. So it did need some analysis. We also needed to wait until someone develops side-scan sonars, magnetometers, and all of the fancy tools that would allow us to cover that much area to find such a small target.
But in what specific ways do you think the discovery this week validates Inuit oral history of the event?
Well, the Inuit were very consistent in saying that it was in the area they call Utjulik, which bearded seal area off the West Adelaide Peninsula, and that's where it was found. We don't know exactly the location. They're holding that close to the chest.
Right.
My sense from talking to the people at Parts is that it's even more specific than that. It's close to where an Inuit named Puturek. Mm-hmm. This one was a hunter who had been taken to the wreck as a boy, told Schwatka in 1879 that if you went to Grant and Smith Points, and 4 miles off the shore, there's an island, and then you walk out a long way on the ice, and there's the ship. And that will prove to be true, except, of course, he never used west, and he never used miles. He probably said something like towards the open ocean and as far as the next river there, or the place we camped last night, or something like that, which was translated by the interviewer into west and miles. So it sounds like all that we really did in all of our searches was we were underestimating what a long way was.
By how much?
More like 10 miles instead of 4 miles.
Okay. So, but these are accounts that have existed for a long time, and instead there has been this other idea of what happened to the Franklin expedition. Why was that idea favored over the accounts that the Inuit had committed to individuals who had talked to them?
Well, perhaps for the first 50 or 70 years, a lot of it was, disregard for anything except written records and a disregard for anything except documentation by white men.
Mm-hmm.
The Victorians didn't want to hear a lot of the Inuit tales because they were not complimentary to the idea that the Franklin men all succumbed at once in an organized disciplined party and heroic march south.
That they weren't heroes.
Well, I don't know how you define heroes. I've been to the Arctic and seen how harsh it is enough that even succumbing to cannibalism is something that's totally comprehensible to me now. And so I'm not going to say that they weren't heroes just because they died a horrible death and discipline broke down when the numbers got down and all the rest of it. But they were not the image that the Victorians wanted to preserve.
How did the accounts that you amassed from the oral histories go against the European reconstruction of what happened to the Franklin expedition?
The standard reconstruction is that in April 1848, the surviving 105 men all walked ashore as a party and no one ever returned to the ships.
Right.
And that they all died in that one summer as they marched and fell by the wayside. The Inuit, they spent more than 2 summers and intervening winters with these guys. They had lots of stories about them. They also found bodies in places where they should not have been, such as on the Adelaide Peninsula. and they talk about footprints of men and dogs all over the place where they should not have been, and they were quite sure that men had been living on that ship that we've just found. So all of these stories are totally at odds with the simplistic reconstruction, which was only based on the 138-word record left ashore. The men did abandon the ship in 1848, that's fact. But I assume that having had difficulty moving up and down that coast in the summer myself and doing 1 or 2 miles a day with just a backpack, that when you have 105 men on that shore, they realized quite quickly that they were not going to walk out at a big party like that and went back to the ships.
So the Inuit always believed the ships, or always placed the ships a lot further south than the traditional reconstruction did?
Yes. Yeah, they met the ships in Erebus Bay. They thought that was the first place the ships came to their land.
But did the Inuit also have a story of what happened to the crew when the expedition broke apart, when things started to go south in a bad way?
Yes, they were quite well-versed, and only one party of hunters actually met the white men on the march, but they did find their bodies, and they found their camps, and they knew that they'd broken up into small parties, that they'd separated from each other and gone in different directions, that some of them had been found, you know, just lying on the beach in perfect state, sick, but otherwise untouched. The Lodestone story is a story of cannibalism at the end.
Right.
And we still don't know how prevalent it was, so it's not like everyone was eating everyone or anything like that. But just the idea that it could happen was repugnant, of course, to Victorian England.
Among the people who took issue with the accounts from the Inuit was Charles Dickens. He, I think, particularly hated the idea that they may have resorted to cannibalism. What was that all about?
Well, yes, Dickens was a good friend of Lady Franklin, and he was adamant that false and bawling savages probably murdered them all in their sleep, and if there was any evidence of cannibalism, that it was probably the Inuit who had committed it, and he was a man of his time, as we all are, and that was a fairly prevalent attitude I'm sure he was spouting in his own newspaper.
Do you think that you know where the other ship might be?
Well, all the clues that the Inuit have would put it in the depths of Erebus Bay, but that one, the Inuit stories say that it was broken up so quickly that some men might have actually drowned in it. So even if found, that will not be as good a find as the one that they have now.
Did you ever think this day would come?
Oh, yeah. I hoped to be there when it did, but it didn't turn out that way. But, finding the wreck was only a matter of persistence, technology, and patience. The government and Parks Canada have shown oodles of all three of those. And so I knew that even if they gave up on the field, I was going to go back after I retired, and I figured I gave myself a deadline of 75 years of age before I give up. So,
that's great. I'm glad that you set a deadline on it, but it looks like you're going to have a few more years to maybe explore it yourself.
Well, there's still the other thing. When I wrote my book, I tried to make it not totally speculative history. I said, okay, go here and look for a wreck, and go here and look for Franklin's grave. So we still have to find Franklin's grave. I still have a project.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome.
That was David Woodman, author of Unraveling the Franklin Mystery, Inuit Testimony.